Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, Dr. Billy Graham said, I am not going to heaven because I have preached to great crowds or read the Bible many times. I'm going to heaven just like the thief on the cross who said in that last moment, Lord, remember me. Amen, somebody. Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer with meaning and meaning every word, not just in a perfunctory fashion, but mean what you pray, and God will hear your prayers, even though this is the prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples and us how to pray and to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Turning to what I call the family verses, Ephesians 5:33. Reads, nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, talking to husbands, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now you know this is the word of God, and this comes from God. Dr. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible regarding this passage, if Paul's message in this great passage could be boiled down to two principles which must govern our thinking and our actions as married people, those two are, number one, husbands, understand that you and your wife are a unity. Number two, wives, understand that your unity has a head, that is your husband. Wives are quick to embrace and understand the husband's principle, and they want that to be the governing principle of the marriage. Husbands are quick to embrace and understand the wife's principle, and they want that to be the governing principle of the marriage. But we must let our own principle govern us. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing, because this is the solution to the problems of many marriages. We don't need to be concerned too much about the spouse's principle that she or he is to abide by, but to be concerned about what we are to live by. So allow me to repeat that in your hearing, but we must let our own principle govern us. It is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It is important that you understand you must do your job. You must do your part, whether your spouse does their part or not. And as I've often said, you're doing your part is not contingent whatsoever on whether or not your spouse does his or her part. Amen, somebody. See, this is the problem with not only people in marriage, but people in families, people in business, people in church. Everybody has a part to play, but nobody wants to play their part. They're so busy talking about what others ought to be doing, when in fact they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It is me, it is me, it is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So allow me to repeat that in your hearing one more again, one more time. But we must let our own principle that God has given to us, the commandment that God has laid down upon us, to govern us. Don't worry about what the other party is doing. Don't worry about what your spouse is doing. You do your part. And believe it or not, God will bless you for doing your part. Yes, He will. When you have a husband thinking, I'm one with my wife, and I must think and act that way, and a wife thinking, my husband is the head of our oneness, and I need to respect and defer to him as the head, then you will have a healthy biblical marriage. Can somebody say amen? That bears repeating at least one time. Here you go. You want a happy marriage? Boom, here it is. When you have a husband thinking, I'm one with my wife, and I must think and act that way, and a wife thinking, my husband is the head of our oneness, and I need to respect and defer to him as the head, then you will have a healthy biblical marriage. Boom, there it is. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the supreme thing always is to consider our Lord Jesus Christ. If a husband and wife are together, considering Him first, you need have no worry about their relationship to each other, and that is a fact. The problem is, in most marriages today, neither the husband or the wife are considering the Lord Jesus Christ and God first. Or you may have one party doing that and the other not doing that. And when you have that kind of scenario, you're not going to have a healthy, biblical, and happy, and joyful marriage. If God is not in the midst, if you got one spouse having no fear of God before his eyes or her eyes, they don't love God back, they don't trust in God, they don't have faith in God, they don't fear God, they're therefore not willing to obey God, and they're not faithful to God, then you have a problem, Houston. Houston, we have a problem. Dallas, we have a problem. Atlanta, we have a problem. Tallahassee, we have a problem. Apalachicola, Florida, we have a problem. Raleigh, North Carolina, we have a problem. If God is not the center of the marriage, if Jesus is not the center of the marriage, we all have a problem. Let's pray. For the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd heal every marriage based upon every marriage, every couple, every individual and every couple obeying your holy word, trusting in you, loving you back, fearing you, obeying you, and being faithful to you. And putting you first and making you the center of our lives and of our marriage and of our family. Because without that, then the marriage will not be healthy It will not be healthy because it is not biblical. It will not be healthy because it is not biblical. And it will not be therefore joyful and cheerful and fun. So help us to confess our sins and to repent and turn from our evil ways in the family. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Renee, is everything okay? Okay, let's get that noise quiet down. So ladies and gentlemen, allow us, or rather, join us in reading our devotional Bible passage for today, Psalm 116, verses 16 through 19. O Lord, truly I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, Lord, thou hast loosed my bonds. Thou hast discharged me from them. Therefore, I am thy servant. The bonds thou hast loosed shall tie me faster unto thee. Doing good is sacrifice with which God is well pleased. And this must accompany giving thanks to his name. Why should we offer that to the Lord which cost us nothing? The psalmist will pay his vows now. He will not delay the payment publicly, not to make a boast, but to show he is not ashamed of God's service, and to invite others to join him. Such are true saints of God, in whose lives and deaths he will be glorified. And I assure you that the homegoing of Dr. Billy Graham, God was glorified. Jesus was lifted up, and the gospel was preached. One of the most excellent homegoings we have ever seen. And we give God the glory. At this time, join me in praying for the estates. You should know what the estates are now, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for your church. And help us to cease praying for revival and help us to actually get on revival ground, because you want us to be revived more than we want to be revived. So Lord God in heaven, help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. We pray now for the government. We pray based upon your holy word that says in 1 Timothy Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, with your holy word directing us, we pray for President Donald Trump as we have prayed for every president since President Reagan. We pray for his administration. We pray for salvation, spiritual family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon these people. We pray that you'll give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and that these folks would live by Christian principles. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Executive Assistant to the President Madeleine Westerhout, all leaders of federal agencies, including Deputy Secretary of Defense Patrick M. Shanahan, all state governors, including Utah Governor Gary Herbert, all city mayors, including Chula Vista, California Mayor, Mary Salas, all members of Congress, including California Representative Pete Aguilar, all law enforcement officials, including Toledo, Ohio Police Chief George Crawl, all military leaders, including James Mad Dog Mattis, Admiral Kurt W. Tidd, Commander of U.S. Pacific Command, leaders of nations around the world, Guyana's President David A. Granger, and Prime Minister Moses Naga Mutu. For the peace, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the modern-day David, Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is on American soil today. And we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct him to continue to do a good job in protecting Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for the people, and we pray for the citizens across this country and around the globe. We pray that you save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Have your Holy Spirit to not give people rest until they are doing your will and until they come to know you as Savior. We pray for the traditional media and the new media, that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved, and lead, guide, and direct all of these people to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We pray for current events, not to inform you, that are happening around the world, but to pray to you, to be obedient to you, and to pray for others beside ourselves. We pray for peace to prevail in Burkina Faso, for the comfort of the families of the 8 people killed in extremist attacks, and for the recovery of the nearly 100 people wounded. We also pray for the people connected to that family where a college student killed his father and mother when they came to pick him up for a break or something. And Lord, we don't know what's going on there, but we know the devil is behind it. And we pray for the city that is shocked, as well as the university where the parents were killed at. We pray for the safety and provision of 150,000 people in Papua New Guinea, who are in desperate need of aid after a deadly earthquake. We pray for the protection of all those affected by this year's nor'easter, for the comfort of the families of, I think now is 9 people killed in the storm. And so, Holy Father God, we commit these people and these problems into your hands. We pray now for the prayer requests that have come in. We thank you that we have been entrusted with hundreds of people and their prayer requests, and you've given us the privilege to pray for them, and help us to be faithful in doing that. And we include all of those who won't be named this morning. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them today. We pray that you'll hear and answer their specific prayers that they're praying for and that we're praying for them. And we also pray for Jordan. Please save and bless his family and give them wisdom. Help them to live in your will and fulfill your plan for their lives. Provide them with a financial breakthrough to meet all obligations, including rent, food, and utilities. And Holy Father God, we pray for Tiffany. Please guide and protect her son. Give her husband strength to face challenges at work. Bless Tiffany with a better position at work, if that is your will for her life. We pray for Alice. Please save her sons and her grandchildren and the children in their Bible club and their families. Bless her finances and transportation situation. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. And we thank you for these who have come to know you as Savior through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. We pray for Bobby. We pray for Ogumodisi. We pray for Franz. Help these to grow in the faith and to be the Christians you want them to be. Help us to be the disciples that you want us to be. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus, through this ministry. We pray for Dorcas, we pray for Linio, we pray for Pascal, and we commit these souls into your hands as well as our souls. Let your will be done in all of our lives. Please hear all of our prayers throughout this day and give us a mind to pray without ceasing throughout this day. Have this devotional time to be foundational for our prayers that we can bounce from all day long. In praying without ceasing, help us not to drop our guard. Help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and keep our eye on that devil in that corner, for he will pounce once we let down our guard. For he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy and devour. And so, Lord, give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil through prayer. And, Lord, to help us not to be lulled into some little sleep because of this victorious past week as we descend down from the mountaintop. Lord, help us, yes, to continue to rejoice, but not to drop our guard. Help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful every second of the day. And help us to stay in prayer, to pray without ceasing, to pray always throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled The Life of a Servant by Dr. Billy Graham. 1 Kings 17:5 says, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord." As messengers of God, we will often lead lonely lives. Amen, somebody. "All men forsook me," said Paul. It is a price we have to pay. There is a loneliness in the gospel. Yet you will not be alone, because you will be ministered to by the Spirit of God, as Elijah was ministered to at the brook Cherith. A true servant lives a burdened life. If he is the Lord's vessel, he carries in his heart a burden for souls none can share but those who know it first hand. Always remember that, my beloved. And if there's a continuation to that, make sure we continue with that, because that's very important for many people in the ministry. Holy Father God, we thank you so much for this powerful devotional this morning from your servant who is now home with you, Billy Graham, who has gone the way that all of us must go. But he left this truth with us. And what a blessing and what an encouragement it is. Everybody will not understand this devotional. Everybody will not appreciate it, but I do. Because it is a lonely road. And and only you know about it better than anybody else. And so, Lord, help us to continue to go down that lonely road and to do it with joy and as we serve you. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for the privilege to serve you in this sin-cursed world, sharing the gospel with the lost so that they will come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Right now, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, dear friend, all you need to do to get saved from sin and hell today is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ died for your sins, he paid your sin debt, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal hell because of your sins. If you don't let Jesus Christ pay your sin debt, then you will have to pay it. For the Bible says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm here to tell you this morning that God made salvation as simple and as easy as he could for you, because he loves you and he wants to be with you throughout eternity. I know I don't understand it either, but he does. He loves us, and he wants us to be with him throughout eternity. That's why he made us, and that's why he redeemed us through Christ. All you have to do is believe on Christ and pray and ask God to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that call, in that prayer, called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, and be saved today. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I have broken some of your Ten Commandments, which means, according to your word, I have broken all of your Ten Commandments, such as lust, such as stealing, and such as lying. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy upon me and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Just like we said we would.